Business Center, Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, and Alexis Stoney. And my, oh my, her first game with us up here during the regular season. And you have a surprise handed to you, we understand.
I do. I was just given one of the official warm-up pucks for the game. You know, this one's going to go on my shelf. Pretty special night for me tonight. And topping it off with a Ducks win. I mean, what could be a better night?
Oh, my goodness. What did it look like from down there?
Well, I was going to come on and mention that after John Gibson made that save, I looked at the bench and all of the guys were smiling, mostly just in disbelief that he was able to make that save. But it was just quite the feeling down here when the Ducks won, closed that out, clinging over to Z, and just happy to get that one closed out.
Boy, I tell you, had ringside seats for that, too, then. And another big win for the Ducks. Alexis, maybe a good stretch of hockey upcoming. We've seen a little bit of it, what they're capable of doing over the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Certainly playing some good hockey right now, especially, I mean, this week, 3 wins. You can't ask for anything better, especially heading into All-Star break. And I know one of the things that head coach Dallas Eakins had told us this morning was the team that comes in with the mentality and gets the jump, it's going to be so important for that tonight. And we saw that from the Ducks. I mean, they got out to a really hot start, really controlling that first period before Arizona was able to get their way back into the game.
Alexis, I just wanted to shift gears momentarily here. Obviously, a huge win for the Anaheim Ducks and an exciting one at that. But in the bigger picture, we look at this night and what we will look back on. The inaugural Women in Sports Night hosted by the Anaheim Ducks. A terrific panel discussion took place prior to the game, and you've been a big part of the festivities and continue to be. You'll be on Duck Calls with Josh Brewster after we are finished with our postgame show, working the game from between the benches. And I'm curious, Alexis, from your perspective, what does a night mean like this? Or a night like this, what does it mean for aspiring women and young girls?
I think it's really important that the Ducks were able to put this together for young girls and young women tonight. I mean, I was able to sit down during the speed mentoring session and talk with a lot of girls that want to get into broadcasting or just work in sports in general. And they were just so grateful to have the chance to be able to speak with people in the industry already. I think it gives them such a sense of pride to be able to be a part of this and some excitement for the future.
All right. We understand John Gibson's there. And let's go down to him, give you this, Steve and Dan, up in the radio booth. And Alexis is going to do it with you, so congratulations from us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hi, Gibby. Alexis here. So let's talk through that overtime period. First of all, you made that amazing glove save on Jacob Chychrun. How did you get your glove out on that one?
Yeah, it was just desperation. They made a nice play there, and he was trying to take me across. So I was just trying to get something in front of the – right there on the goal line, and kind of hit my glove or whatever there, and fortunate enough, I'll take those.
And not long after that, Klinger gets the puck over to Z and puts it in the back of the net. I'm sure it felt really good to close this one out tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was. I thought we played a really good game. I mean, they had a good push there in the third and kind of had us on our heels a bit, but we were resilient and had a good push there in overtime and found a way to get the 2 points and get a big win, kind of heading into break and feeling good.
What did the team do to keep their emotions in check through this physicality through this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just kind of stuck to our game plan, played our game. We didn't want to get caught up in all that. We just wanted to work hard and play our game and focus on getting 2 points so we could head into break feeling good and on a good note.
And 3 wins this week. I'm sure you've mentioned it already heading into the break now, but I'm sure it feels pretty good to get these wins as you move into this little bit of time off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, we know we have a week or so off, and wanted to have a good push here the last week and to finish that road trip off, and we were able to do what we wanted to do. So it's a testament on us as a team and find ways to win hockey games.
Thanks, John Gibson. Congrats tonight.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, Alexis, how about some final thoughts from you? From us up here, we're so happy to have you with us. You did a terrific job, and look forward to some future games here at Honda Center with you.
hey, thanks, guys. I was so glad to be a part of this tonight. And I really think that I have a different perspective of this game now. I mean, the speed down here kind of caught me off guard in the first period a little bit, but I felt like I got settled. And along with the way the game got settled, too, I mean, the Ducks, like I mentioned, controlling the game early, but Arizona making that later push in the second bit of the game. Emotions were certainly high. I heard quite a bit tonight, but that's what makes hockey fun, right?
Yes, it does. Hey, thanks again. We will see you here in just a little bit. We're going to run through some of the scoring. By the way, there's a lot of pressure on you. You're 1-0 down there. You better come through next game.
Oh, there is some pressure now.
Well, good job again tonight.
Thank you.
All right, Steve and Dan, Josh will join us next segment. Dan, kind of an ominous start, huh? First goal of the game by a Farmer Duck, Nick Ritchie, past the halfway point of the first period.
Yeah, and it was frustrating because the Anaheim Ducks had totally dominated the game to that point. In fact, they had 10 consecutive shots on goal before Arizona struck on a counterattack. And actually, the Ducks had 11 consecutive shots on goal. But Arizona with a brief puck possession in the Anaheim zone, and it resulted in a goal when Christian Fisher stepped out from behind the net to the left of John Gibson and delivered a nice backhand pass that former Duck Nick Ritchie was able to put up top on John Gibson from low on the left side. Ritchie got his 9th goal of the season. Fisher and Boyd the assists at 16:21 of the first period. So against all odds, the Coyotes had a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and mentioned Max Jones late in the broadcast. I thought there were times when I really noticed him and coming on and improving his game and adding to the scoring, getting the Ducks even when he did tally.
Yeah, the Ducks had so many opportunities and just could not find a way to beat Connor Ingram, the Arizona goaltender, until the 12:32 mark of the second period. And John Klingberg, who would later add an even bigger assist, got the primary helper on this one, feeding Max Jones for a shot from low in the right wing faceoff circle. Jones gets his 4th goal of the season from Klingberg, and Urho Vaakanainen that tied the game 1-1. Unfortunately, Vaakanainen would later leave the game with an injury. We don't have any specifics on that, but he did get an assist here on a big goal that got the game tied at 1-1.
All right, and it stayed that way for a long time, through the third and into overtime, just past the midway point of overtime, and that's where we bring in our Play of the Game feature tonight all season long. It's brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks! Well, it was number 11, Trevor Zegras, getting the game winner, 3:34 of OT. Coyotes were about to make a change. That prevented that from happening, that feed. Now Klingberg in to Zegras. He scored! Trevor Zegras with the game winner with 1:26 left to go in overtime. 2-1. Anaheim wins.
You know, we've talked about finding ways to win or finding ways to lose. And far too often this season, the Ducks have found ways to lose. But tonight, it was the exact opposite, because after having dominated the opening 40 minutes, the Ducks were really on their heels in the third period when Arizona outshot Anaheim 16-6. But with John Gibson sparkling in net, as he so often does, the Ducks managed to stay in the game and get it to overtime. And then it was an unusual overtime because there wasn't a lot of sustained puck possession by either team. But ultimately, the Ducks get the job done. John Klingberg picking up his 2nd assist of the game with a terrific play, stealing the puck from Coyotes rookie Matias Michelli low on the left side. And then very patiently, Klingberg finding Trevor Zegras, who was coming up in support. And Zegras from the slot with a wide open shot, able to beat Connor Ingram on the glove side for Zegras. His 2nd overtime goal this season, 18th goal of the year from Klingberg at 3:34 of overtime. And Steve, I think we need to talk a little bit about some of the guys that you never hear about, and specifically some of the Ducks analytics people, because the Ducks have been far more effective in overtime this season than we've ever seen before. Anaheim is now 6-3 in overtime, in addition to 3-2 in the shootout. And in past years, overtime and the shootout have been nightmares for the Ducks. So talking to Coach Dallas Aikens about what's made the difference, and he credited Ryan Lichtenfels and Joe Piscotty of the club's analytics staff, who did a really deep dive on overtime and how best to attack things in overtime and so on and so forth. And yeah, of course, the players get the job done. Of course, the coaching staff implements the ideas, but Ryan Lichtenfels and Joe Piscotty deserve some credit here, because without their work, maybe that 6-3 overtime record is 3-6.
That's true. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We're going to bring in Josh Brewster to join Dan Wood and myself, Steve Carroll, and some happy thoughts. This has been fun, folks, hasn't it, the last couple of weeks, including this one tonight, the overtime win by the Ducks over the Coyotes 2-1. More on our postgame show with Dan and Josh and the crew here on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's the sound of Karen getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers are providing her mom with a portable oxygen tank. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit BBBI.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
The EA Sports NHL 23 World Championship is here, with more events, more tournaments, and more chances to win than ever before. Test your skills playing EA Sports NHL 23 against the best gamers in the world for the chance to represent your favorite team. Win a trip to NHL events and compete for a share of $150,000. Register now and get all the details at NHL.com/NHL23.
This was Ducks over the Arizona Coyotes, and the Ducks win it 2-1 in overtime. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, and Josh Brewster here on this particular segment before Josh has his Duck Calls program. Josh is here in the booth. You heard from Dan, you heard from me. What was your take on what happened here tonight?
Well, I'll tell you something. At the midpoint of the game, I noticed the Ducks had 28 shots. They had 45 shots on the night. It was our highest shooting night of the season, and I thought that spoke volumes. I mean, when we also had a lot of momentum in the bank to weather this storm that Arizona threw at us in the third. In particular, I will say this. Before Nick Ritchie's goal, there was that melee. Ritchie, I think, took a swing at Zegras early in the game. You know, there was a whole melee around the net. This was exactly what the Ducks need. Not the rough stuff necessarily, but we don't see a lot of three Ducks or four Ducks in the low slot swinging away at the puck, collapsing in the offensive zone. And this was the kind of greasy play that if we can see this more often, the Ducks are going to get more ugly goals. I've said we need to play an uglier brand of hockey at times, and I thought that moment was exemplary with regard to one of the boxes we need to check going forward.
Yeah, and you know, Josh, one thing that strikes me is the Ducks with 40-plus shots on goal for the second time in three games. Now, both of those games against the Arizona Coyotes, who are not one of the top teams in the league, to be sure, but still a good sign. And another good sign, Frank Vetrano, who had the hat trick the other night in Colorado, had 8 shots on goal against the Avalanche. Tonight has a game-high 7 shots on goal. And, you know, Vetrano's a guy the Ducks brought in to add to the offense. He went through a very lengthy stretch where the goals just weren't coming. But now, buoyed by that hat trick against the Avalanche, you can kind of see he's a much more confident, assertive player. And that's what the Ducks need, because you can't always rely on Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry and Adam Henrique. You've got to have some support scoring. Tonight you get a goal from Max Jones. You get Frank Vetrano with another strong game. So those are encouraging signs, just kind of unfortunate in a sense that now the Ducks are playing their best hockey of the season. They have won three in a row for the first time all year. They've won four out of five, and now they don't get to play again for more than a week.
Yeah, Dan, I'm glad you brought up Vetrano, because not only, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he is our number one shooter. He is, I believe, the most shots on goal on the team now. And what I really also liked, Dan, was his generating on the cycle. I mean, he really, really was moving his legs. And I remember at one point really carrying that puck through the offensive zone all the way around the circumference of the offensive zone. And it's been a big step up for him. By the way, we didn't crack 40, but we had a nice healthy shot total against Colorado as well. So there's some good signs.
What about John Gibson, guys?
Yeah, all right. That's the save of the season for the Ducks. That's, I think, is there a bigger save? Have you seen a bigger one?
Well, maybe the one in Colorado the other night when time was winding down and the Avalanche were pressing for the tying goal. You know, it's funny, though, and I mentioned it during the game. This was a different kind of challenge for John Gibson, because through two periods, he really wasn't tested all that much. And we're not accustomed to seeing that for any Ducks goaltender, whether it's Gibson, Anthony Stolarz, Lukáš Dostal. They've all been, under siege in the Anaheim net. That wasn't the case tonight until the third period. And then when it happened, Gibby was ready for it.
So, win here over the Arizona Coyotes, and you did a good job there in Tempe the other night. So the Ducks have a couple of wins over this team. So we have some time off now. Josh, go back to you. What's your sense with, what, 5-6 days off before we go to Dallas and Chicago? What do you look forward to seeing as we get back into playing time in about a week or so?
Well, if I believe we return against Dallas, if I'm not mistaken,
yep.
Right? So I'll tell you what. This is a really good situation, because you really have played your best hockey of the season in the last, you know, four games or so.
Yep.
And you're going to have that. You're not going to go into the break scratching your head, wondering, you know, how are we going to get out of this? So I think the mentality is good going in. We've talked about writing some new chapters and leaving the old chapters behind. Look, the way we played against Colorado, the way we played tonight, at least for the first 40 minutes and in overtime, you bring that to Dallas, it's going to be a different game against Dallas. It's going to be a much different game than what we saw earlier here.
Yeah, and Steve, I'll just add that I think the Ducks will go into this break feeling good about themselves, and that's nice to see, because it's been a tough season. There's no sugarcoating that. And so the Ducks are feeling like, okay, hey, maybe we're on to something here. And, you know, Dallas is a team that when the Ducks were there earlier this season, the Stars won 5-0. When the Stars came here, the Ducks won 2-0. So, you know, it'll be the rubber game of the season series with a very good hockey club. But I think the Ducks can kind of hang their hats on this and realize that, you know, they're not that far away. If they can do the things Josh has been talking about all season, really, you know, they can win some games here down the stretch in the final 32 games of the season.
Okay, we'll look forward to having you both back with us this coming Friday in Dallas. And, Josh, you have Duck Calls coming up, a guest.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, you may have heard of her. Alexis Downey is the guest tonight. And she did a great job, by the way, between the benches tonight. So hats off to her. So I look forward to having her on Duck Calls. I've been wanting to do that all season, and I guess this is the perfect night for it.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to echo that. I thought Alexis was terrific the whole night, really, Women in Sports, the first time the Ducks have ever done this. I thought it was just magnificently well done. And, Josh, maybe have, you know, a little caffeine for Alexis, because she's had a long day and had to work really hard.
Yes, she has. So now we're going to count on her to get a win in Dallas and Chicago, too, but she's already off to a good start. So we will see you guys later. Just a reminder, our next broadcast on DuckStream coming up on Friday, February the 6th from Dallas, the American Airlines Center. Pacific time, our play-by-play at 5:30 California time, and 5 o'clock for the pregame.
That is a Monday, am I?
Is that a Monday?
Yeah, it's a Monday.
What did I say, Friday?
Yeah, don't come to work
Monday,
on Friday.
Monday.
Don't go to Dallas on Friday.
You know what it is? It's I got to catch the plane on Friday.
No, you don't have to catch the plane until Sunday.
Hotel alone. Hi, Steve Carroll, Ducks. Yeah, you're not expected until Monday.
Hey, you can go on Friday if you want.
Yeah, go. Just go talk to yourself.
Mind.
Go to the arena and talk to yourself for a little while.
I don't mind going to Dallas early. I know some people down there. But anyway, I'll figure it out. I'll be there when I need to be.
Check your local listing so you don't miss the broadcast.
Hey, I've had a long day, too. I've been here since early this morning, so that's my excuse.
No one has any idea how early you come in. Do you know that? Yep. They don't know. Fans
yeah.
don't know.
Well, sometimes it's like 1 in the afternoon. Sometimes it's
really
10. It just depends. But anyway, I'll come in even at 6 a.m. if they want me to if we keep playing like this. All right. By the way, that next game, you got the broadcast, Tom, I think, now. And Josh, you'll fill you in on more. Again, the final was 2-1 in overtime. What a night. What a goal by Trevor Zegras. I want to thank Rick Cutler, onside engineer, Vic Pence, our statistician, Cash Hibbler, and the fine crew in the state of Arizona. Coming up, Josh, and it is, what is today, Friday, Saturday? It's a Saturday. Okay, we got that right. For everybody here, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you during our next broadcast against the Dallas Stars. Stay tuned for more Ducks Post Game, Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style, all spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
Drive score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
Hey Ducks fans, wish it wasn't so hard to eat healthy? With Fresh and Lean, it's never been easier. You get organically sourced meals made by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. No fluff, no junk, just real food made with real ingredients. Fresh and Lean has served over 25 million meals nationwide, and they're based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order, plus free shipping. Fresh and Lean, it's better when it's real.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
And join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Mm-hmm.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888, 714-940-2888 tonight. Ducks 2, Coyotes 1 in overtime. Wow. What an entertaining game tonight. Everybody got their money's worth. There's no question about it. It was a big night here, Women in Sports Night, for the inaugural Women in Sports Night, and I'm sure there will be many more, and great stuff all the way around. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start with this. Max Jones should be playing top 6 minutes. It was great to see him get them tonight. I've been saying for a while, I don't know who this player is yet because of the, you know, injuries that he's faced. He's been up and down the lineup. He's been a bottom six guy. Tonight, I really like the opportunity he got. What do you think? 714-940-2888. Not only did he score a goal, but he had 6 shots on goal. It was a big step up for him. 15 minutes and 57 seconds of ice time is almost a season high for him, but this is all 5-on-5 time. When I see him out there with Mason McTavish and Frank Vetrano, I'll tell you, I thought he brought, you know, he brings a lot of size, and I think he's a very good fit out there, you know, and it was really nice to see tonight. So I'm saying Max Jones, maybe one of the most important Ducks on the ice tonight, not just because of the goal. Obviously, we needed that goal, obviously. But at the same time, this is a player, 24th overall pick, first round, 2016. I've been waiting to see who this guy could be. It takes a while to develop a power forward. Maybe he can be that guy if he can stay healthy. I really like him in the top six. I'd like to see him get more of an opportunity. And let's add power play time on there for Max Jones. Trevor Zegras, fantastic goal. The only thing, and I want to know what you think, 714-940-2888, should he be more selfish? Should Trevor Zegras be even more selfish? Because I'd like to see him shoot even more. What a tremendous goal tonight. Tremendous talent. And by the way, for a guy who has seen some critique this year, his expectations, our expectations of John Klingberg, until recently, I think for a lot of fans it hasn't been met. But I got to tell you, that play he made tonight, the level of patience he showed with the puck in overtime before he kicked it back over to Trevor Zegras. He faked out 2 Coyotes, and then Zegras puts it home. John Klingberg, hats off to you. It has been flowing for him lately. And I speak about different chapters of the season. John Klingberg has written another chapter for his season of late. He's been very productive. So good stuff there. John Gibson, to me, this was the save of the year. I don't know if you can think of a bigger one for him, but it's the glove save sprawling out on the ice. It leads to a Frank Vetrano breakaway. Vetrano has been great of late as well. But, boy, I'll tell you, that was the save of the season for John Gibson, and it came against Jakob Chychrun in overtime. What a tremendous effort by John Gibson. As Dan was mentioning, he was not really tested through the first 40 minutes. He played well during the first 40 minutes, but boy, Arizona kicked it into high gear in that third period, and he really had to weather a storm, and he really had to make some huge saves, and he did. We've got the one that I mentioned against Chychrun, and then you've got the one against Michelli. He bails us out there, a right pad save on Zach Cassian at the post, and a big glove save on Mosier earlier in the third, so that was excellent too. I also mentioned that I think the sequence that led subsequently to Nick Ritchie's goal, there was a pileup in the offensive zone right at Connor Ingram's net. And you saw Trevor Zegras get punched by, I think it was Ritchie, correct me if I'm wrong, and then Ritchie goes to the box. But that is exactly, not the rough stuff so much, but the presence in front of that net is what we need to see much more often. All right, I have a very special guest tonight, and she's here with me on the mic. So let's get right to Alexis Downey, and you give us a call, 714-940-2888. Alexis Downey, welcome to Duck Calls. I've been wanting to have you in all season. I think this was the perfect night.
It was such a great night, too. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And, you know, what could be better than an Anaheim Ducks win tonight?
It was a very big win. And you know what? They go into the break now on a high. You know, they don't go in scratching their heads. How are we going to work our way out of this? We have all these boxes to check. They go in with a good vibe now.
Certainly, and you got to feel good. I mean, after this week and being on the road for 2 weeks and then coming home and then continuing to get a win tonight, I mean, they fought through it a little bit too. It just gives you a good sense as you head into this week-long break and they can now rest and reset and get ready for some more hockey after it.
And I thought the Ducks have been, of late, especially tonight, doing a good job of staying off the perimeter, driving the center lane as much as possible, going directly to the net and not spending a lot of time playing the game over on the side, but getting to the heart of the matter and crashing the net. So you had a great view of this tonight. You were between the benches, and why don't you tell me a little bit about that, because that you did a great job, by the way.
Thank you so much. It was awesome. I mean, just being able to see the action at that level, it was something that it gives me a new perspective, I feel like, of for the game in particular. It is difficult to hear down there, I will say. You kind of have to take the headset off and lean in a little bit.
So that you can hear the players? Too.
Yes, yeah, the players.
Because there's glass right on your side, right?
Right. To hear coaches, you got to read lips. That's the only way you could hear that. But, I mean, officials are loud, and it was really interesting to be down there, especially during the whole sequence in the second period when all the guys were in the penalty box. They were trying to figure out, you know, what was Zegras's penalty and all of that. That was interesting.
Troy Stetcher, 51, on Arizona.
Yes.
Did you catch any of his yakking?
Yes.
He was not a happy guy.
Yes. He was very upset. You know, he talked to actually a couple of the guys on the Ducks, because some of the guys came over and they said, hey, you know, what's going on? What happened? And he just was very vocal about it. Probably something I can't repeat.
Right.
You know, he was mad, and, you know, there was certainly something happening between him and Z, and I could tell once Zegras came out of the box in the third period. I mean, he had a stone face in that third period. He was locked in. He wasn't saying anything and just kind of played out the rest of the game. And then, obviously, I mean, he got that goal in the end, so not too bad.
Yeah, his timing is absolutely impeccable. I mean, what a tremendous talent, and at the exact right time, especially tonight. And as I said earlier, I hope he becomes even more selfish as he goes on. Frank Vetrano, you had an up-close look at Frank Vetrano tonight, and he has really emerged of late. He had 10 shot attempts, 7 of them for shots on goal, and a couple blocked and a missed shot. But Frank Vetrano was making a lot happen out there, and I saw him, you know, cycling through almost the entire circumference of the offensive zone at one point. But I thought that he worked really well with Mason McTavish and Max Jones.
Certainly he did. And one of the things I noticed was in that final 3 minutes in particular, he was really trying to take those shots and just kept being really persistent with it. I mean, we know he's such a good shooter, but to see him continue to do that, and especially in a time where the Ducks were looking to get that game-winning goal, you know, it's great to see. And his pairing right now in that game with Jones and McTavish, you could just see that it was kind of a good setting, in the sense that, you know, Jones might be more of a, as Dallas called him, a bully, versus Vetrano is more of the shooter. So it's a good dynamic that they have there.
Yeah, no, you have a big body out there with a smaller guy, and then you've got Mason McTavish, who's learning his way as a top six NHL center with you know, he's got some heft too. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, Alexis. It takes a while in hockey, it seems to me, for the bigger guys, the power forward kind of guys, to learn the NHL level. They're not the small guys, but the bigger guys. To me, it seems to take some time, and we'll see what happens with Mason McTavish as time goes on. All right, so you had a great view there. Tell me real quickly before we go to break, because I'm going to take a break here, and we will come right back. But tell me about the pregame event. You had Linda Cohn and a bunch of great folks. And by the way, hi to Linda Cohn. It was great to finally meet her. She's done this show many times, and I really owe her a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, so we had a pregame panel, and there was just some amazing people on it. Ali Lozoff was the moderator for it, so our own ringside reporter. And Linda Cohn was on it, Misty May Trainer, Lauren Chamberlain, Julie Ehrman, and Jill Samueli Redden was a part of it as well. And, you know, they just talked about all their sports experiences.
How was the conversation? Was the audience engaged?
It was very engaging. At the end of it, they took questions, and honestly, the questions were great. I was impressed by a lot of the questions too. People came ready. They knew what they wanted to ask and learn about the industry. Great event, and props to Sammy Glantz, the publicist, she was really spearheading this. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of other people a part of it, but I know that this was her baby.
All right, let's take a break here on Duck Call, 714-940-2888. What do you think about Max Jones? Should he be playing top 6 minutes? What do you think about Trevor Zegras? Should he be more selfish? Was it the save of the season, John Gibson, tonight? 714-940-2888 right here on Duck Calls. Duck Stream powered by TuneIn. I'm here with Alexis Downey. Give us a call. We will be right back.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks! On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. The Spring Breakaway Ticket Pack is now available. Get ready for spring with a Ducks-themed sand-free beach towel and discounted tickets to 4 home games. Plus, if you purchase the pack tonight, you'll get a free bonus game. This offer is valid until the end of the month, which is only a few days away. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/spring. All right. So, Alexis, let me ask you this. Which of the Ducks, as you in your travels thus far, who is the most, who do you think is the most interesting interviewer, the most thoughtful Duck? I in my experience, have found Troy Terry to be very thoughtful guy. Who do you like to talk to on the Ducks?
Well, Troy Terry is definitely a good answer. I mean, he's always, you ask him one thing and he'll tell you things for 2 or 3 minutes, which sometimes is kind of rare in hockey. But, you know, I feel like I've had a lot of good conversations with a lot of the different guys on the team. A favorite for me is definitely Ryan Strome. I feel like his energy from the very beginning, from the first time I met him, just off the charts. Just a great guy. You know, he loves hockey and he loves his family. He's really big on his family, too. But he's always fun to talk to, too, because he's certainly got some insight into the game and a little bit of a different perspective, too, having played in different places as well.
Yeah, and he was he's had a good career. He's a high pick. I'm glad we brought him in because I think that he's an important guy. He and Vetrano are important guys to have around when you have guys like McTavish trying to learn the NHL speed, even Zegras, even 100 whatever games into his career, and you need that. So I'll tell you what, you've got a lot of podcasts to produce. Tell me a little bit about that on DuckStream. Tell me about that process because I know. You know, I book a lot of guests for this show, like yourself. It's, you know, it's late, so I, you know, we can't record it. But what? Tell me about all these podcasts and things that you're producing. You produce a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it certainly keeps me busy. We have the flagship show, Light the Lamp, 3 times a week that I'm a part of. And I have an interview usually for each episode with that. So that one is certainly one that you can hear all over DuckStream. Recently, we've had a couple of the Players Lounge episodes with some of the guys. Kent French hosts that one as well. And that's been received really well by the fans. They love to hear from the guys off the ice, just not talking about hockey, just talking about their lives, too. We've had some episodes of Ducks Unfiltered and Leading the Flock as well. So those are usually done by Kent French as well. But I actually had The Bachelor on recently for Ducks Unfiltered.
How many Bachelors have there been? 15, 20 Bachelors?
He is 27. 27. Oh, season 27 of The Bachelor. He's from Anaheim Hills, Zach Shallcross. So he was on recently. That was really cool for me because I've watched that show forever. And then we have a GM show with Pat Verbeek, a coach's show as well, too. And then Gulls Report. We catch up on the San Diego Gulls.
I like when you asked Pat Verbeek about the no goal in the Stanley Cup final.
You're calling it a no goal.
Yeah, he said, I've got a ring that tells me it was a good goal.
Yeah.
I thought that was great, though. I really appreciate it.
I said,
it.
If you Google it, it says no goal. not right.
Yeah, no, but he's a good interview. I mean, mm-hmm. we had him on Duck Calls, and, Steve Yzerman, his close associate, are known as being kind of, a little more the tight-lipped tradition as far as GMs go. But when you interview him, I think he's been very forthcoming, Pat Verbeek.
I agree, and I really like the way he's come in and done a great job with the Ducks this season, obviously his first full season. But it's good to have that transparency between business and hockey and just all around the organization. I think he does a nice job with that, and it makes me excited for the future here.
All right, if you want to hop in, 714-940-2888 here on Duck Calls. It's a big win, a couple of big wins this week. I mean, to go into Colorado, let's reflect on that for a moment, Alexis, because I think that it really is the foreshadowing for the kind of play we saw tonight. As many offensive opportunities or goals, not as many goals, but I thought that the way we played against Colorado showed that the team might be taking a turn, for the better. I've seen the club respond in different ways in a struggling season. But I have to say that when you go into Colorado and you weather a first period storm and you come through with a victory, a 5-3 victory like the Ducks did, I thought that was a very important game. And I think that it was a foreshadowing for what we saw tonight.
I mean, certainly to do that against a team that won the Stanley Cup last year is very difficult. And I also at the fact that it was the end of their road trip, too, you think there might be a little bit of fatigue or whatnot. But the guys, I mean, they really kept with it. And that was a game that they really talked about this morning after morning skate, just how important it was and how good for the team morale and the momentum heading into, All-Star break as they get closer to that. But overall, I mean, that was such a good game. And I think about when I was watching the Bally Sports broadcast of it, Ali Lozoff interviewed Frank Vetrano after the first period, and he was a little, typical. But then after the game, he was so excited, and you could tell he doesn't show a lot of emotion usually. And to see him happy, I think, was a telltale to how the guys really felt after that game.
Yeah, no, they did a great job. Let me do some NHL scores, and we can talk about some of the other clubs around the NHL. Tonight, the Avalanche 4, the Blues 2. This is in Colorado. Avalanche gets back on the horse after losing to the Anaheim Ducks. What do you know? Florida Panthers 4, Boston Bruins 3. This is in overtime. It's Sam Reinhart for the Florida Panthers in overtime at 17 seconds. Our old buddy Brandon Montour, defenseman, hit 10 goals on the season. He's having a good season in Florida. Flyers 4, Jets nothing. The Flyers get back on the horse as well. Lightning 5, Kings 2. I bring this up a lot, Alexis. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning, this was at home tonight, 5-2 over the Kings. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are hiding in the weeds, so to speak. Everybody's talking about the Bruins. Mm. And the Leafs get a lot of attention. But the club that's only been to 3 straight Stanley Cup finals and won 2 of them seem to be kind of hiding in the weeds. And I think the Tampa Bay Lightning might be the team that can topple Boston. What do you think?
I think that is a very wise choice because you can't count them out ever. No. I mean, we see them, what they do in the postseason year in and year out. They are unstoppable. They know how to play there. They have the experience. And, I mean, Steven Stamkos, hit a milestone in his career recently. Certainly,
yep,
a
500
guy,
goals. Yeah.
You know, I feel like he doesn't sometimes get as much credit as he deserves.
Yeah.
And so that was great to see him and also get a goal the night he was honored for it. That was pretty cool for him, too. But yeah, definitely don't count Tampa out.
Kucherov, Point, Hedman.
Vasilevsky in the net.
Yeah, you know, I think they're kind of waiting in the weeds. All right, here's another guy waiting in the weeds. It's Pete from Fresno. You're on the air. Everybody else, 714-940-2888. Pete, say hi to Alexis Downey.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Doing well, Pete. Great win tonight, huh?
It was definitely a great win over that powerhouse Arizona Coyotes team. They're a scrappy team, and we got them tonight. So,
right on, Pete. So tell me what stuck out for you tonight. We had some fine performances by a few guys tonight. What stuck out for you?
What stuck out for me, I'll tell you. You know, one of the things that really stuck out was all the ladies in the house tonight, all the professionals, wonderful people. Hats off to the ladies for all what they do. And what else stood out was Gibby and Net. You know, I saw he made some big saves in overtime.
Well, he certainly did. I think it might have been the save of the season on Jacob Chychrun. But women in sports night. And we had Alexis Downey between the benches. By the way, Alexis, you're there the whole time, right? Because you got to there's no door.
No.
There's no back door to
no,
the.
No, I was in there the whole game.
Was it cold down there, Alexis? Is it cold down there?
You know, I thought it would be colder than it was, but I dressed pretty warm. I wore a turtleneck for it. I wore some good socks, and I was completely
fine. Plus,
there's
adrenaline. Adrenaline kicks in,
right? Yeah, for sure. You're watching the whole game, making sure you don't get hit by any pucks.
So, Pete from Fresno, you're a longtime Duck fan?
You know, I've been around since they were Mighty Ducks, so I'm hoping to bring the Mighty back a little bit more, get some more wins, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, let me ask you this, Pete from Fresno. We saw the reverse retro jerseys this year, and that's a throwback. And, you know, sometimes we wear the orange jersey that has sort of the throwback logo, which people love that logo.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Yeah, I love
what's
that
your
logo.
Favorite? What's your favorite Ducks jersey? Is it the old Mighty Ducks? Is it the reverse retro? Is it the new black with the big stylized D? What's your favorite jersey?
I did love, when they made the cup run, I love that black, you know, with the green there too. So I like them all. I mean, the Mighty sticks out though when you got that classic face mask and from the movie and the sticks. It really sticks out, and I do have a place in my heart for that one.
Yeah, that is a very, very popular one, and it certainly sold like hotcakes. Pete from Fresno, thank you for calling the show, and please call back anytime. So let me ask you, Alexis, and then I will opine. What is your favorite Ducks jersey? Which one do you think is the best?
I think that's tough for me yet because I feel like I still need to see all of them. I honestly don't think I've looked at all of them yet. I am a fan of the classic logo. I do have the orange with the classic logo. I think it's the third jersey for the team.
Yeah.
So I like that one.
I like the reverse retro.
Okay.
It reminds me too. It reminds me of the old one, but it's got orange. I mean, you're in Orange County. You've got the orange. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. All right, let's move on. 714-940-2888 if you want to hop in. Tonight, Senators 5, Canadiens nothing. That's in Ottawa. Sharks beat the Penguins 6-4 tonight, and that is in Pittsburgh. Islanders 2, Golden Knights 1. That's in overtime on an overtime goal by Matt Barzal. He's up to 12 goals. I thought he'd be far beyond that. Sabres going to Minnesota tonight. Marc-Andre Fleury plays his 700th game. So he's one behind Terry Sawchuk. Very fantastic career he's had. Blue Jackets go into Seattle. The Kraken win 3-1. Oilers 7, Blackhawks 3. Speaking of the Blackhawks, Alexis, you come to us. Your last stop was in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm. So yes, it was.
You tell me a little bit about that. I know you discussed that a little earlier today.
Yeah, so I used to work for Stadium, the sports network in Chicago, and it was actually in the same building as the Blackhawks in the United Center. So we were on the fifth floor, and they were just right below us. So I got to cover quite a few Blackhawks games.
Wait, this is at United Center?
At the United
Center. Okay.
Yes. So in the atrium part, there's the offices, and that's where our office was in the studio. But I was at Stadium for almost 3 years. I was working in social media, and then I also had an NHL show that covered the whole scape of the league, and it was a digital show. So I got to cover two Stanley Cups, you know, once another, a third Stanley Cup, but remotely from COVID. And then I also went to the Winter Classic in 2021, that would have been, and, or 2022 technically, because it was on New Year's Day, but regardless, it was an amazing experience, and I really enjoyed my time in Chicago. Chicago's a great city.
Now, hockey, tell me about your experience with hockey. I've spoken how you ended up in hockey. I've spoken about my experiences that basically I grew up around all the 1970s Buffalo Sabres when they became a team. They all lived in my neighborhood, and it was hockey. I mean, it's, you're practically in Canada. So how did you come into the world of hockey?
Yeah, so I was born in Pittsburgh. So my parents were in Pittsburgh in the 90s when the Penguins were winning the Stanley Cup, and they became Penguins fans, and I just kind of grew into being a Pittsburgh sports fan when I was growing up. We moved to Ohio, but I was still about an hour away from Pittsburgh, so I grew up a fan of all Pittsburgh sports, and I loved the Penguins growing up, and I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is still one of my very favorite people in this game, and I just knew that hockey was a sport. If I was going to work in a sport, it was going to be hockey. And I started going to some junior hockey games while I was in high school because my hometown of the Youngstown Phantoms, that was the hometown team for the USHL.
Okay.
So I started going to those games.
That's a good league. That's a very,
very
important league.
Very, probably the best junior league. It is the best junior league in the United States. If you're not going to the National Team Development Program, that's where you want to be in that league. And I started going to those games and just kind of led me to college hockey then. I went to Michigan State, covered the team there, and worked in the office too. So that was really cool to get that perspective. Cool.
That's a big hockey school, Michigan State.
It is. And, you know, it's they had a run for a lot of years where they were very good. They were the Michigan they were the school of Michigan that people wanted to go play hockey at. And then Michigan got pretty good, and now they're kind of transitioning into a new era. They just got a new – all these new renovations to the arena in the last year and new coach. And it's certainly changed a bit since I've been there, but you know, they're on the up end of their, we'll call it a rebuild in a sense of their organization. And it was so much fun. I loved my time at Michigan State, and being a part of Big Ten hockey was awesome.
Very good. Very good. Well, we are very glad to have you here. And so I got to ask you, do you know if we're going to see you behind between the benches again?
I hope so.
What's the intel on this?
I hope so.
Because this really worked well.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I think, you know, there's some things that you just can't quite see from up here. And when you're down at the benches, I mean, I shared a story on the broadcast of John Klingberg skated over, and he's holding something in his hand. And I'm looking at his hands. Turns out it was some broken pieces of a necklace.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I thought that when you identified that.
and it turned out it was Troy Stetcher's necklace.
It's also good that someone saw that, because if you skate your skate blade over that,
you're very dangerous.
Wipe out, yeah.
So it turned out originally the first couple pieces were right in front of where I was in between the benches. And then he came over again, Klingberg, with another piece, and it was a bigger piece. It was almost like a pendant, and it was all part of the same necklace. But
now these guys are making pretty good money. You could make you could collect, you could collect a little extra.
It was a
gold necklace.
Saying?
You hang out between those benches, you never know what you're going to find. By the way, Marc-Andre Fleury, I meant to complete the thought here. Marc-Andre Fleury played his 970th game tonight. He needs one more to tie Terry Sawchuk at 971 for the fourth most in NHL history among goaltenders. He's 38 years old, as you know. He's been nailed since he walked into this league. He's 16 wins shy. He got a win tonight, so he's 15 wins shy of equaling Patrick Waugh's 551 in second place. If he gets to 20 victories, it'll be the 15th time he's done that. Only Patrick Waugh at 17, Marty Brodeur at 16 have more. He looks to tie Ed Belfour. You mentioned Pittsburgh. Do you recall the save he made on Nick Lidstrom when they won the Stanley Cup? It was the game save. It was the very end of the game, and Nick Lidstrom takes a shot. He lunges over, makes the save. Pittsburgh wins the Stanley Cup. They go off in a place for
it. I do. He
is something.
His flashiness, his style, his swagger.
He's a good guy to talk to, too.
He is. I mean, everyone will tell you he's one of the nicest people in the entire league.
Let me also give you some more news here, and if you want to hop in our last few minutes here, 714-940-2888. It's a big night here at Honda Center. 45 shots on net for the Ducks. This is a very good sign. They're going to go into this All-Star break for an entire week now. They've got three victories to think of. It's the first time they've won three times in a row. Frank Vetrano has three goals in his last three games. He didn't score tonight, but he was a four goals in his last three games. He didn't score tonight, but he was a force out there. He's our leading shooter now. We really needed him to heat up. John Klingberg, I mentioned, in fact, Alexis, let's talk about this. John Klingberg, I think the critics are right to point out that it was slow coming for him in Anaheim for the first 20 or 30 games. But I got to tell you, of late, he has really been good, and he's been really productive. And tonight, he gets that assist on Trevor Zegras' overtime goal, and he made a play. You talk about Chicago. Patrick Kane's patience with the puck knows no equal other than maybe Ryan Getzlaff, who was here. And the patience that Klingberg showed with the puck on that goal, he drew two Coyotes to him, and then he backed it up to Zegras. Zegras puts it home. We go off in a blaze of glory. But I think things have really gotten better for John Klingberg.
You know, one other thing I did notice during the game tonight, too, he was very vocal the entire game from the very beginning. And I guess I wasn't expecting that out of him. But to see it, I think maybe could be a sign of him just feeling more comfortable in his game and just feeling better about where he's been, because he has been doing a lot better than the beginning of the season as well, too. You're right, that last play, great play by him. And it ended well for the Ducks, and I think that he is someone that they were hoping to get a lot out of in the beginning. So to see him starting to get more comfortable, yes, it is a little bit later in the season, but it's still good that he is being in positions where he's doing things.
No, it's timely. It's very timely. All right, now, let me catch up on Connor McDavid. This is a player, Alexis, as you know, this is going to be one of the greats. This is one of the all-time greats, I think. I think there's things that Sidney Crosby does, Bobby Orr did, Wayne Gretzky did. Bobby Clark of the Flyers, I think it was Bobby Clark of the Flyers, once said it's too bad Bobby Orr doesn't have, there's not a league that he can play in at a higher level. That's how good he is. Connor McDavid, everything he does at speed. And tonight, he surpassed 90 points tonight in a victory over the Blackhawks. This is the second year in a row where he's got 90 points in 50 games or fewer. The last player to accomplish this two seasons in a row was, speaking of Pittsburgh, Mario Lemieux in 91-92 and 92-93. So he's in rare air, Connor McDavid. And, you know, we've gotten to see him a couple times, Alexis. And, you know, you're in the Western Conference. You're in the Pacific Division. You get to see Connor McDavid more often. It's a really exquisite talent.
He's unbelievable. And it's funny you bring him up, because I was thinking about, when I was down in between the benches tonight, I was thinking about some of the high-talented players in the league and what it would be like to watch them from down at that angle and their speed. I would love to watch him down there. He was one of the first people I thought of. But also, the different era that we're in of hockey, like going back to Mario Lemieux, his era of hockey is a lot different than it is now. So, I mean, is there a ceiling for McDavid?
Yeah, no, he's a dominant. He's absolutely dominant. And everything at full speed. That's what always struck me about him. I've never seen anybody do everything at full speed the way he does, you know?
It's almost like robotic for him.
Yeah, it's a very, very high level. All right, let's wrap this up. Alexis, I'll tell you what. I can't emphasize enough. It really added something to the radio broadcast tonight that I really enjoyed having you between the benches. So I'm voting for you too. Nobody asked me anything around here, but I'm just voting voting into thin air here that you should be behind the benches more often. Oh. And I thought you did great. And so congratulations on being a part of Women in Sports Night tonight at Honda Center.
Thank you so much, Josh, and thank you for having me tonight, too.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure, and I've been looking forward to it for a long time. So, all right, folks, I'm going to get out of here. Ducks win, All-Star break. Everybody get some rest, relax, and we will come back on Monday against Monday the 6th against the Dallas Stars. I don't know if you heard this on the way up. Steve Carroll thought the game was Friday. I told him, go to Dallas on Friday and just sit in the arena and talk to yourself.
No, no. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Very good. Thank you for listening to Duck Calls. Alexis, thank you so much. And I will talk to you next time. Enjoy the All-Star game and the All-Star break.
Thanks.
Have a good night. All right. Thank you.
Shoot, score!
Hockey is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Duck stream game.
Shoot, score!
Hear it here on TuneIn.
For Zegras in, shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station, so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
The hottest country tracks from today and yesterday make the journey that much better. That's why TuneIn's Country Road Station should be your soundtrack. Whether you're in the car, at home, or anywhere in between, we're spinning pop and country jams from Zach Bryan, Maren Morris, and Elle King. Plus some classic gems from pop country's golden age. All on TuneIn, all on your devices. So check out TuneIn, the app that lets you hear your world.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BM.